Here we are. Thank you so much, ladies, for that song. Their precious family, the Kalindras and Kalindras family, and precious. We have a two visitors here, Ulan, excuse me, from Kyrgyzstan. Here's Ulan, and then his colleague here, Phil, from Houston. Yeah. And we have a history together because when I lived in Hungary, we did mission work in the Soviet Union. And one of the things we did was rented a Soviet jet airplane for mission work. So we rented an Aeroflot plane for 1 week. And we decided where to go and to fly, and we had a team of 30 people. One of the places was his city, Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan, and we went there and preached and got a feel of what's going on. And the Spirit spoke to our hearts that this is our target area, and we're coming. Isn't that amazing? And so in Budapest, we had our Bible college, we had Russians coming. We had Finnish people, we had French people, we had Swedish, Ula was there. We had a mission. We had a mission. It was amazing. And God did that work. And Ulan is one of the leaders there in the church in Bishkek. There's actually a building. That's another story. Money was given for property. Pastor Emil, his son here this morning? Pastor Emil's son, here he is. You want to stand just for a second? So his dad is the Greater Grace pastor in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. I mean, Bishkek is so far away. If you dig a hole here and go right through the earth, you'll come up in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. Or actually, maybe China. But it's right next to China. So this is a work of God. This is amazing to see. And we want to share a message this morning on humility. So we will start on that by reading from Luke chapter 2. And we are in the temple in chapter 2 and verse 21. So let me grab that blue book there, right there. This one, yeah, thank you so much. All right, let's. Yes, amen, Jesus. Jesus, these people, God, are your people. Jesus, you are our God. Jesus, minister to us, Lord. Speak to us. Lead us, God. Show us something, God. Feed us, Lord, in your name. Amen. Verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem. That means after the woman gives birth to a baby, she's unclean. So she needed to be purified for some days, according to the law of Moses, and then go up to the temple. It's a 5-mile walk from the south, Bethlehem, up to Jerusalem. We have been there. The steps that they went up to the south side of the temple to go in and to have the baby circumcised. This is on his 8th day of life. It's a fantastic story. Because behind the history and behind all of the elements of Israeli temple services, Mosaic law, the religious rites of the people, the habits of the people, behind it all is something very important. Because there were many people there that did not have a clue. There were many people in the temple and in the religious machine that did not have a clue. We want to draw a little diagram this way, that you had the temple life, and it could also be very bad. Temple life could be nothing more than a den of thieves, in Jesus' words. A den of thieves and robbers. When we read our Old Testament, we see how far away the people could be from God. This is a main theme in our faith, that it's so possible for me to be far away in my heart from God. I think we understand that. So with that in mind, we want to see the positive, a group of people that are there that are involved, and the Spirit of God is with them and speaking to them. Verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I would like to think of yourself, think of you and me this way, that we have an anticipation in our heart for God. But in the temple, there's a lot of the same old, the habits and the traditions and the washings and the teachings. But they're also possible for me to be in that and miss God. I don't see God. I don't anticipate God. To be honest, I don't really care so much about God. This was not just in the time of Christ's birth, but it was, as we said earlier today, in the book of Malachi. And I want to show that to you in a few minutes. It was also during the time of Samuel, the little boy. 1 Samuel 2 was a little boy in the temple. And Eli, the official high priest, and his sons, the sons were really wicked men. We read it in 1 Samuel 2. They were men, sons of Belial, a pagan god. But the worshipers of a pagan god are doing God's service in the temple. Reminds me of hearing about a Catholic priest in Haiti who does Mass on Sunday but voodoo on Saturday. Reminds me of a Protestant pastor who preaches a message but has an immoral life, or takes money, or is arrogant, going through the motion, and yet, where is God? I believe you and I have started our search for God because God was calling us by His Spirit. And by God's grace, we were humble enough to trust, to obey, to believe. Like the woman at the well. When Jesus touched her life by his words, like he was touching an empty person who had a lot of problems, but as he touched her, she was drawn to God, and he said, "The hour is coming, and it is now here, when they that worship him will worship him in spirit and truth." And she said, "I know that the Messiah must come." And listen to these words. She's the first time. She's the only one at this point in our history of his earthly ministry when he told her, I am he. I am the Messiah. Ah. This Messiah means a lot to us. The Messiah means everything. The God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And actually, they had a conversation in heaven. We don't know about those conversations in heaven. They're not written in the scripture. I mean, exhaustively, we don't know, but we know of at least one of them. I want to show it to you just because it's a little bit of a side point, but turn to Psalm 40. Imagine the Trinity is having a conversation in heaven in eternity past sometime. And this is what the Son said, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. This is the Messiah saying to the Father. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Meaning calves and goats and bulls and pigeons and grain offerings and wine and the Levitical offerings, but you have opened my ears. That's what God wants, open ears. That's what we have, open ears. Verse 6, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then said I, this is the Son saying to the Father, lo, I come in the volume of the book. What is that? Volume of the book is the Bible. It's 66 books, but actually one book. It's one book, really, written by the Holy Spirit. It's one volume, and it's written of me. And I come in the volume of the book. That's why you should not doubt your faith, but study your faith and get rooted and grounded in it. You can lose it. You can depart from God. It's a history of Jewish religion was the departure of how they had it and they left it. They had it and they left it. It's repeated over and over again in their history, and it's the same in the Christian church. It's like we have it and then we leave it. We have it and we leave it. We have it and we leave it. And you say, how is that? I want to talk about it today and maybe preach about it. We're preaching. Look at chapter 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. This is a great gift to you. The Son of God delights to do the will of the Father. I love to do your will. I love to do your will. Imagine that in you, that you love to do his will. Isn't that amazing? That's what I want, and I have it. This is the a message here. I delight to do your will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. It's in my heart. You see, some people misunderstand us that our activity is some kind of machine that operates, you know, like you go to church, you know, it's part of My, I believe it's a very good habit, and I come here, but I'm also coming here with some expectation. And because the Holy Spirit is upon us, like Simeon, and he comes into the temple, and he's going to see something. God is going to show him something. And that's how you and I want to live our life, because there is that departure, that boredom, that desire for the lust or fleshly or other things that we're so prone to. My soul cleaves to the dust in Psalm 119. That which is first is natural. I want to point out something to you. When Moses tried to deliver the Jews in Egypt, they said, no, like, leave us alone. Like, no, get out of here. Do not do it. But he went back again, and now they are ready. It's similar to Jesus. Jesus comes to Israel. They say, no, we don't want you. And so, hey, you know, leave us alone. We do not want you. But Jesus is not giving up. And they will one day see him whom they have crucified. But the principle is similar to us. That sometimes when God speaks to me, it's like, no, I got my own idea. No, I don't know. Thank you very much. You know, you go your way. I'm good. Thank you so much. And then he comes again, and I'm ready. Because the world is bitter. It's empty. It's not enough for you. There's something more here. And don't stop looking for it and anticipating it, because humility is very important in God's work. And humility cannot have a program. Humility is a relationship. Humility is not a program. It's something more. It's what Simeon had when he went into that temple that day. Go back to Luke chapter 2, and it says, the man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Verse 25. If we could put that up on the screen. Luke 2, 25. Devout, waiting for, what is that? He was a godly man, and there's expectation. The Messiah is coming, for God has promised me that I will not die before I see the Messiah. And I am an old man, but I believe it will happen. These kind of people are amongst us. That's God's will for us, that we should live in some expectation. When I'm at Bible college, when I'm coming to the church, or when I go home, or when I have to go to work on a Monday, and I'm doing this for even decades, it's very hard to stay fresh, because the spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. And it's very easy for us to fall into some backward, wayward way of thinking and feeling. We do it all the time, because we have our weak flesh. But I want to encourage you today, because these people are here written for our encouragement and our learning. Look at verse 26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Where the concept of the Lord's Christ was not clear to the Jews, unless they had a spiritual understanding. But even when Herod asked the Jewish wise men, where will the king of the Jews be born? What a question. Where will the king of the Jews be born? They immediately said, Micah 5, verse 2, O Bethlehem, though you be the smallest of all those in Ephratah, out of you shall come forth he that is from everlasting. And everybody that understands that Hebrew language, as they have told me, yeah, I do not understand it, but as I have understood that, it means that he is from eternity. This one born in Bethlehem. What will his name be? Mighty God, Everlasting Counsel, mighty Counselor, Everlasting King, Prince of Peace. What is his name? There are five names there. And he's born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Simeon is like you and I, a churchgoer that comes with some kind of sense of the kingdom. We're in a different place than we were 2 years ago before COVID, before other things. We are in a different place. And in our place, we are sensing God's protection, God's governance, God's anointing, God's mind, God's purpose. We are sensing it. But not everybody in that temple that day is like that. No. I want to show something, show you, please turn to Malachi, the book of Malachi, the last book of your Old Testament. This last book of the Old Testament is filled with 10 particular words. I'll put them here, 10 phrases, 10 different scriptures that God is bringing a complaint to the people. He's giving a complaint. Number two, they are answering by saying, wherefore? Wherefore? Or wherein? Translated in our vernacular, it'd be like, what are you talking about? You have robbed me. What? Wherein have I robbed you? What do you mean? It's connected with a attitude of arrogance. It's how a teenager could talk back to his father or mother. You know, you're not behaving. What? I'm behaving, you know. You're not respectful. What? What do you mean, you know? No, you're not respectful of your mother. You're not respectful of your dad. Where's the respect? Where's the fear? This is in Malachi. Let's read chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Do you see that? I don't know if I'm going too fast here. If I'm a father, where is my honor? And the teenager could say, what I honor? You know, I don't understand. What are you talking about? Yeah, you don't understand because you don't want to understand. You got an attitude. Translated, you're not humble. You're not humble. That's what God is saying to the Jewish people. You're blind, you're arrogant, and you're deceived. You're wrong. You're wrong. And they're like, what? How many times do we hear that? How much is that the spirit of our age? You know, what? I don't care about you. I have my own. I got my own life, my own way. This is in the temple. No wonder Jesus said, this is a den of thieves and robbers. You see, relative to each other, we can manage and get away with stuff. And we get away with our attitude and our thing. But when it comes to God, it's different. He is not speaking to everybody. He is not revealing himself to everybody. He is not giving the blessing to everybody. It says he resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Don't misunderstand me. If you are saved, you're saved by grace. And I believe you are. You're a believer in Christ and you have the Spirit of God in you. There's no question about salvation is such an amazing gift. But we're talking about something that could be addressed this Christmas season, because the story is so clearly spelled out for us that a great thing that the people never really understood is happening right in front of their eyes. But there are very few people. The angels sing it to the shepherds. Zacharias the priest is visited by an angel regarding John the Baptist's birth. Elizabeth receives Mary, and she sings a song that you are the mother of my Savior, Elizabeth said. Mary sings her song, the Magnificat, this poem of prophecy. Then you have Simeon, whom we're reading about. And then later we have Anna. There's eight different, and the wise men. There are eight different individuals and groups that are being made aware of what God is doing. And I want to say that I think it is in your life, through your life, as a believer, stay awake and stay aware, because there's no way, there's no need for your life to be wasted in arrogance and blindness. There's no need for any of us to live a futile and vain and foolish life. We had a wedding here yesterday, and after they did the reception in Parkville, and one of our people said, gave a testimony this morning to me, and she said this venue has like beer parties and everything, and it's all, you know, they clean it up, and then there's another group that comes in, and there was the wedding reception. It was very honorable and precious and sacred, and it was a beautiful venue and a great event. But one of the workers there said, as they saw our people, she said to the manager of the event, she said, these young people are different. These are different. And she said, well, what do you mean? She said, oh, well, they come here, they go out in the breezeway, they get high, they come in here, and they just do their thing. They drink and they're high. But these people, she could see it, you know, of course. These people are filled with the Holy Spirit. They're looking for God. They love God. And we find God. It says that. If you seek Him, you will find Him. If we listen, we will hear, right? So that's what we want to say today. Look at Malachi 1, again, another example. Did we finish that one about the Father and the Son? Yeah, no, we didn't. Verse 6, Malachi 1, 6. Thanks for putting it up on the screen. If I be a master, where's my fear? O hosts, unto you, O priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised your name? How have we despised you? I don't understand. And so he answers, if I was God, I don't even know. Excuse me. I don't even know. By the way, I was sick last week. I stayed home like you're supposed to if you're sick. And then I stayed home. Then I came into class. I got a COVID test. It was negative, so I taught my class. So I'm saying, if you're sick, stay home. Some people are getting COVID. I don't know what the story is regarding that, but just be wise and follow the protocols as you're supposed to. So you've despised my name. What? How have we done that? He said, verse 7, you offer polluted bread. What do you mean? Moldy bread, stale bread, wet, it's been soaking in water, throwaway bread, you bring that to my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Please don't do that. Do not say that I don't like it. Do not do it. Be humble and obedient and submissive. And find His will and know it. And do not say that about Bible school or evangelism or prayer or the Bible or reading the Bible. Wait a minute. People are saved. People are delivered by His grace. God is working these ways. His ways are not our ways. Let's be very trust and hold things that are sacred as being sacred, because they are sacred. When I listened to a rap session from back in the 1970s or 80s, and I sit there and I'm so appreciative of the teaching. If you're an ordained pastor, it's sacred. If you come here and you have, God is working in your life, you may not always see it, but it's there. God is on your side. He's in favor of you because he does that with us. With the lowly is wisdom, in Proverbs 11:2. Before honor is humility, Proverbs 18:12. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud, Proverbs 16:19. Honor shall uphold the humble in spirit, Proverbs 29, verse 23. So we have this bad news here happening in Malachi. 10 times. What? No, God is saying, he comes back at them. Thank you, Lord. You don't give up. Come back again, Lord. He's just saying, no, I'm good. And the Lord comes back. And he's saying, now listen to me. You have no idea how much I am in favor of you, what I want to give you. You have no idea what I want to do with you, how I care about you. You have no idea. Jesus is praying for us in Hebrews chapter 9. You have no idea what I want to reveal to you, what I want to show you. You have no idea how much I am for you. So this is it. So closing now, Luke chapter 2. And go back there with me. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms. He blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. What does that mean? Here he is, the Savior. How contrary the concept, how amazing it is, this baby, 8 days old. Now I can leave, I can depart, I can die now because I have met my Lord and Savior. Who saw it? Not the proud. Not the people filled with their opinions and their talk and the world in Jerusalem. Not Herod. Not the priests. No, Zacharias knew something about it. But there were so few that knew. And I want to use this as an example. As I've already said, I make it very clear to you that I believe there is no good thing he will withhold from us if we walk uprightly. I believe God is with you even in your quiet time, in the time of life when nothing looks like it's happening. But he's teaching you. He is leading you. He is helping you. He is visiting you. He is with you in the morning. He is with you in the bedroom. He is with you at night. He is with you when you open your mouth and you share the message with somebody. And you come back again with kindness and love and you share a message again. He does not stop. God is in his temple. It says in Malachi 3:1, behold, he will suddenly come to his temple. This is, I must read it, Malachi 3:1. I will send my messenger, that's John the Baptist. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, this is 350 years before it happened, shall suddenly come to his temple. This is 350 years before, and he says, the Lord will suddenly come to his temple. When did it happen? When he was 8 days old. He suddenly came, and there were people there. And those people are like us. May I repeat it? They are like us. And if you go away and you slide away, and it happens in the Christian faith, let me make a point here about it, and there is the church, and there's some pastor here of some kind, and he has a calling, and he has a ministry, but he departs, and we have arrogance, and in 1 Samuel 2, we have an incredible story of the sons of Eli sleeping with women in front of the tabernacle. Sleeping with women. It's clear there. They were sleeping with women, and they were sons of Belial, and it said the Lord would slay them. The Lord would slay those two sons. And Eli, the father, knew about it, but he didn't change it. He knew about it, but he couldn't rebuke them and remove them and deal with it. He couldn't do it. He didn't do it. So Eli died, his two sons died, and the wife giving birth to the son, she said, name him Ichabod, and she died. And why did she say, call him Ichabod? Because it means the glory has departed. The glory has departed. So you have a church with a wicked, terrible thing happening, scandalous, wicked, wrong, because of the heart of man, because of our hearts. Stop it. Stop it. Don't do it. Repent. Surrender. Be obedient. Be humble. Listen. I am a pastor, and I got in some state of mind that was wrong. I would look for help. If you're in a marriage that's going south, you're having trouble, you should look for help. If you're in a church and you're having struggle, you should look for help. If you have a friend and you have some difficulty, you should talk and be humble about it. Listen to me. This is interesting. I don't want to finish, but psychologists have proven that talk is not the solution to problems. Talking, 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 talking. Does that solve problems? Not necessarily. It can exacerbate them. It can put gas on the fire. Talking isn't the answer. You know what is the answer? God, humility, and be quiet. You be quiet and stand before God and sit before God and hear what God says. You pay attention to what God says from his word. That'll change your life. I've met so many times through the decades of ministry. I've been around. I know about it. They're just talking, talking, talking. It's like they get nowhere. They just irritate each other. They just get locked firm in their position, you know. There's no humility, there's no obedience, there's no submission. Listen to me. You coming to church and submitting yourself to the pulpit is a spiritual thing. If the pulpit is spiritual, and we pray it is all the time, that's why we're here, and you're submitted to a spiritual ministry, it will help you. You will grow. Excuse me. You will grow. Your life will change. I used to pastor in Hungary, and I remember I never preached about smoking tobacco. I never did, but we had a lot of people in our church that were smokers. And and it's like more common in Eastern Europe and in Russia. Anyway, I never preached about it. It's not a big issue to me. Our body is the temple of God. I could preach about it, but I didn't. Anyway, we had a rap session, about 150 people. I asked how many of you, since you've been in this ministry, God has taken tobacco away? 33 hands went up. How did their life change? Not by preaching about it, but by God. God takes it away. God can take away pornography. God can take away alcohol. God can take away loneliness, depression, anxiety, worry, and fear. God can take things away from us. He can. But you know what? He lets the proud just go their way and just say they lie down in their own sorrow. They lie down. They just don't get better. They just have a very hard time, and it gets worse, and then that's all that they talk about, and that's their life. And they don't change. They do not change. Psalm 115, they are idol worshipers, and they change not. My idol is my self-life. I am so filled with my self-life, so filled with myself. Let me close with one other thing. It's fun to say these things. There are some things in American culture we do not talk about when we meet each other. What are they? When I meet you as an American meeting another American, what is it that I don't ask you generally? Be inappropriate. How much do you weigh? How about talk to a woman? How old are you? How old are you? How about this one? How much do you get paid? What do you get paid every month? What's your salary? Do we talk like that? I mean, we don't. How about your medications or your medical record? How about it? Now, listen to me. There is a difference of opinion in our country, in our general population, different degrees, regarding the vaccination for COVID. I don't talk about it. I'm not interested in the subject. I don't talk about it. I don't expect us to talk about it in the church. I don't care about your opinion. Basically, there's two opinions, right? There's the pro and the anti, and then there's somebody in the middle that doesn't care. Maybe there's three opinions. I know about those opinions. Thank you very much. I'm not talking about it. I'm not feeding there. I got something else to talk about. There's a Christ that is revealed in the presence of the temple. There's a Christ that speaks to our heart. There's a word in season to him that is weary. You are to be persuaded in your own mind about some things. Romans 14. You are persuaded in your mind. Would you allow me to be persuaded in my own mind about what I think about my life and my decisions? Is that okay? And could I do the same for you? That I could respect your opinion and what you think, and can I respect you in this regard? Right? Doesn't that make sense? Arrogance is a problem for all of us. And I'm not saying, if you talk about it, there's arrogance. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, could you please relax? Think about going up to somebody in the church and say, excuse me, are you a Republican or a Democrat? If you do that, then you can talk about vaccination. But I'm asking you not to do that and not to talk about the vaccination. It's your business. At the end of the day, that's your life. I live with me and God and my family and what God wants in my life, and I have the freedom to make my choices. And if my choice isn't yours, would you give me a break? Would you love me anyway? Would you leave me alone and let me live my life? Can you love me anyway? Can you have joy and bring joy into a church? Wait a minute. I've heard about churches that have division because of this issue. I've heard about it. That cannot happen with us. Guys, you and I are supposed to be like Simeon in this story. Okay? Let's read the rest of it and we'll finish up. It's chapter 2 and verse. He took him up in his arms, verse 28. He said, "Let me depart in peace." Now, verse 33, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And I love it that we can also be amazed at the things that are spoken about Jesus. It hasn't left us. We are amazed at the things that are spoken of him. His second coming, his victory over sin, my new life. I'm amazed at the things that I have a new life, that we will not go to hell, we'll go to heaven, that there'll be a welcome in heaven, it says in 1 Peter, that they're welcome, there'll be a grand welcome. I'm wondering at the gate when we get there, like who's going to be there? Remember the story I told about an old man up in Havre de Grace? And we sat on his porch, and he said, "My wife passed a few years ago, and I told her, I'll meet you at the southern gate." And I took that to heart. I go, "What did you say to her?" He said, "I'm going to meet her at the southern gate of the holy city, the New Jerusalem." I go, "I like that. I want to think like that. I want to think. I want to be anticipating. I know because we are talking now about the things of Christ that the world knows nothing about, and they will not hear it. They will not hear it. They will not open their Bible. They will not go to a church. They will not hear it. They are living in blindness and they are lost and they're without Christ and without hope and without God and without joy and without peace. And they are talking about COVID day and night and worried about dying day and night. But we are the church. We are the people that have lifted up the baby Jesus and said, I can leave now for I have met my Savior, my Messiah." We have the same, and then Joseph and Mary are like looking at him like marveling. What are you saying about our baby? The thing spoken of him. And there was a woman there, her name was Anna, verse 36. And she was a prophetess, highly dedicated. And you read it there, 36, 37. And she came in that instant, in verse 38, that minute she came in, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Wow, how did she jump into the party? She was wired for it. She was geared for it. She was ready. She was spirit-filled. It was right on the same page. She didn't even know the people, but she's right there, right in the same thing going on. And by the way, that's why we assemble every week, two or three times a week. And I want to give out a little call to you, like break your, if you can, get a little more radical and come out on a Sunday night. Come out on a Wednesday night. Get a little bit of more radical. Go for it, because we are in the end days. And that God is moving, and these are the times of preparation. And we will meet him one day. It will not be far off, I think. Okay, amen. Do pray with me. Yes, Jesus, thank you for this church. Thank you for your spirit here. We labor for this life that is the new life that is ours, but we have a certain kind of labor, not of works, but of heart and attitude. Help our speech to be edifying. Our way of thinking, finding the right targets, living the right way, learning to be servants. In our dedication, in our devotion, having authority with you in prayer and in worship. The wise men met that baby and worshiped him. Again, people on the same page. Lord, thank you for that. Maybe somebody hasn't started your Christian life. Here it is. This is yours. Here it is. It's for you. You might say, no, not me. Yes, you. Yes, as you are. Don't you? You don't do a prep change. You prep by God to believe. And God is calling you and saying, come to me now and believe in me and trust in me and say yes to Jesus. Today, in Jesus' name, amen.